In the gospel reading today, as we hear about the transfiguration, there are a few points that we need to consider. First of all, throughout the gospels, our Lord is shown over and over again to be greater than the various prophets. Remember, for instance, Elisha fed 100 people with 5 loaves or 7 loaves, whatever it was, and Jesus feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves. And you know, that Moses led the people through the sea. As the sea opened, Jesus just walked on the water. Moses fed the people, well, God fed the people in the desert. Jesus with the manna, with the feeding of the thousands in the desert. All these different points where it's over and over shown our Lord is greater than even the greatest of the people who have ever lived. And it only makes sense. He is God. He is the greatest. Well, remember after Moses had gone up Mount Sinai, when he came back down, his face was glowing, and the people couldn't look at his face, so he had to wear a veil so that they didn't have to look upon the glowing of his face. Well, here we see that our Lord, his entire body is radiating in the transfiguration. So once again, now we look at the one whom the Jewish people would look at, one of the greatest people ever to live, along with Abraham and a few others. And once again, we see that what is happening in our Lord is even greater than what happened with Moses. But it goes further than that. We have to look at this a couple of ways. First of all, you have to ask yourself, considering that Jesus is God, why wasn't he this way all the time? What we're celebrating today really isn't the miracle. What happened every day, other than this time, was the miracle. Why wasn't the divinity of our Lord shining through his human body all the time? He kept that hidden because if he was glowing in the dark as he walked down the road, it wouldn't require a whole lot of faith to believe in him. But he kept it all hidden, so that what was required was an act of faith. Now we bring it to ourselves. We realize that one day, this is what's going to be happening through us. In the glory of the resurrection, the glory of God is going to radiate through us. And it can already. But usually it's not because of the kind of miracle that our Lord worked in him, in his own humanness, that he didn't allow this to happen. It's a matter that we've got too many sins and too much junk in the way. But if you want to think about a miracle, ask yourself, why didn't you die a couple of minutes ago when you received Holy Communion? You received God into yourself. In the Old Testament, if anybody touched the Ark of the Covenant, which held the Ten Commandments, as well as some of the manna and the staff of Aaron that had flowered to show the priesthood, if anyone so much as touched the Ark, they would die. That was the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus is God. You just received him into yourself. Why didn't you die? Or even if you're so holy that you could handle this, why aren't you glowing right now? You see, there's a different kind of miracle that's at work here. God is not allowing himself to radiate through you and me, in this case because of our sinfulness, but the miracle is that we didn't die when we received him. But if we look at it in the spiritual life a different way, as one grows in the prayer life, there oftentimes will be what St. Teresa of Avila would call the suspension of the senses. When that happens, what's going on in the soul is more powerful than the faculties of the soul can handle because of the sinfulness, the imperfections that are there. Consequently, it overflows into the sense faculties, or the faculties of the body. Well, the spiritual faculties are far higher than the sense faculties, and if it's too much for the sense faculties to handle, if it's too much for the spiritual faculties to handle, It's way beyond what the sense faculties can handle. And consequently, you just simply go out. If somebody saw you there praying, they might think that you were sound asleep. But in that case, you wouldn't be. You're just gone. Sometimes it's sort of like a brownout. You're sort of there and not, you know, not entirely. There's some knowledge of what's going on, not a lot. Sometimes it's like a blackout. You're just gone. And it can be 30, 40 minutes later when you come back and you have absolutely no concept of any passage of time. If you fall asleep during prayer, you have an idea. It feels like I was asleep for a half an hour or something. But in this, I mean, sometimes it's kind of humorous where when you go out, you were in the middle of a sentence, and when you come back, you just finished the sentence as though there was no time in between, because for you there wasn't. But when we look at it that way again and say, okay, this is because the grace of God is doing something in our souls that is more powerful than we can handle, we don't glow, we go out. How is it once again that we just received Almighty God into ourselves and we're still here awake and alert and talking about it? That requires something of a miracle. But what we want to be able to do is not so much to glow, but to recognize what we want is to get our souls purified to the point that God can radiate through us, that the love of God can radiate through us. Who cares if we're glowing? That's a totally secondary issue. But that the love of God needs to radiate through us. That's what it is that he wants from us. So he is within us. If we're in the state of grace, and if you've just received Holy Communion, he is right there. He is the three persons of the Trinity are loving one another right in your soul. The two hearts of Jesus and Mary are loving one another right there in your soul. Now you are being invited into that love. Think about that. You are being invited by the Holy Trinity, by our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady, into the love that is happening in your soul. It's happening at the deepest part of your soul, and if we're not at the deepest part, we can't fully enter into it yet, but that's where God wants us to be. That's what he's inviting us into. And when that can finally happen, then that love is going to radiate through us. That's what people see in the saints. Most of the saints didn't glow, but the love radiated, and everybody could see that radiance. That's what the Lord wants for the world to see through you and me, to love him so much that that would radiate through us. You can see that even on the natural level. If somebody is, if their heart is cheerful, it shows on their face. If their heart is depressed, that shows on their face. What's going on the inside will radiate one way or the other. So if we're truly in love with God, if we're being absorbed into the love that is happening within us, that's going to radiate in a most glorious way. That's what the Lord desires for each one of us. So when we look at what happened with our Lord, yes, this demonstrates a point of his divinity. This shows him to be greater than all the rest, all these different things that we can look at. But it's a foreshadowing ultimately, not only of the resurrection, but of the glorification that God has for you and me. But that can start already. It's already begun. Began the day you were baptized, the Trinity began to dwell within you. It is increased through prayer and through the reception of the sacraments. It continues to be increased as we grow in union with the Lord. And as we can be purified from our sinfulness, as we become more and more conformed to Christ, then the radiance of the love of God is going to shine more and more profoundly through us. That's what the world needs. That's what the Lord desires for us and from us. That's therefore what we want to be aiming at, to continue to strive to love God more so that His love can touch the hearts of others through us.